I've been practicing now for 15 years. So of course it integrates into my life, of course. And it's a grounding thing. Like, we need to ground. Our culture doesn't promote that. And so if you sign up for whatever the culture's selling, it's an empty pursuit, a very empty pursuit. And so, yes, it does. Coming back to and filling yourself, like you talked about, this self-care, you know, that it's required. And what is so simple with yoga that reminds me of it, that in this physical body that we have an inhale and an exhale. And you cannot exhale, you cannot give without an inhale.
Mom.
Slow down.
Sound familiar?
I get it. Mom life is demanding. There are no off hours, the pay is minimal, and your bosses are relentless. But there is a way that you could start giving back to the most important person in your life, you. As a mom of four, I get what it's like, but I promise you can start to enjoy life more, take time for yourself, and cultivate a sense of inner peace that all your friends will notice. My name is Jessica, and I'm the host of the Mom Slow Down podcast, where we will tackle topics important to us moms, discover the clues to healing and happiness, and take time just for us. Thank you for joining me on this journey to a happier, healthier, more satisfied version of you. Looking for even more joy? Check out my membership site at jessicanicole.love. Indulge in a yoga class, sip on a glass of Cabernet, or challenge your skills in the kitchen. But remember, Mom, slow down.
Calling all parents. If you're like me, you recognize that this parenting gig is tough. So today's guest will help to put an end to all of that parental suffering. I want to welcome to the show Michelle Gams. She's a parent coach and psychotherapist with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. And after 20 years of coaching parents, a simple philosophy emerged, which she turned into a book called Stay Away from Option D. It gives parents permission to be faulty parents while still bringing peace to your home. Man, that sounds like something I want to get on board with. No perfection required. Welcome to the show, Michelle Gams.
All right, so Michelle Gams is here. She is a psychotherapist and an author with this recently released book, Stay Away from Option D. Mm-hmm. So I know it's long in the running, this book. How much of your own parenting experiences? Yes, it's so beautiful. I've got mine too. Yay. We've got mine too. It's so good. Pick it up on Amazon if you have not.
My baby.
Yeah. A lot of love went into this. A lot of love and a lot of experience. 20 years you dealt with us crazy parents. That's a lot. And you are your own. You are a mom. You have two kids that are grown, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how much of your experience with them went into this book?
A lot.
Yeah.
So because the work I do as a parent coach and a psychotherapist, I had so much uploaded into my head with my own children that it was easy to sort of call myself out a lot because it was like, okay, Michelle, you teach this stuff. And I so much, Jessica, too, I would, it was more like, Michelle, you teach this stuff. Michelle, you teach this stuff. Like, come on, what do you need to do here?
It's so hard though. I mean, to pull that out in your own experience, in your own life experience, even when you know, and you are a trained professional and struggling. Imagine what the rest of us who have zero experience, no training, we're just like trying to keep our head above water.
Right. Which is all of us, Jessica, because I feel like, I think that's a huge piece of permission that why this philosophy, why I wanted to, you know, write about this. Is permission, because we have this pressure on ourselves that we're supposed to know how to do a job that we've had zero training for. Zero. You got the class to get them out. That was
the class. And even that was from, you know, you see like 1980s, you know, that was a scary class. The child birthing class. I was like, I don't want to do this. They should have shown me this 9 months ago. I would have made a different choice.
Right.
They send you home with this little person and they're like, okay, good luck.
Right. Good luck. And so that's the part that everybody has their moment of terror, the moment of terror, just like that, where it's in the hospital on the way home from the hospital at home, where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so, yes, I understand that feeling, that sense, and to give yourself a break, because nobody does, nobody's trained. And so then that's what I've been doing for 20 years is teaching parents. And then they walk out going, oh, okay, I can do that. I can do that. And it's like, yeah, you can. You totally can. We do better when we know better. And you learn like anything else.
Absolutely. I mean, and having some resources. I mean, I love this book, Stay Away from Option D. And you do give us option A through C, which are like, you gave permission to be a C student. So for anyone out there that's like, was just flying by through high school, just barely making it through college, Michelle Gams is here to tell you that you can just be a C parent and that's okay.
And you're doing great. You're doing great. So you want me to share about what they are?
Yeah, please. Okay. I'm sure everyone would love to know.
Okay. So I've had this concept in my head for about 10 years and I've been talking to clients about it, but I didn't have a visual for it. I just knew there's got to be some kind of graphic that can illustrate this philosophy, this concept. And the gal who designed the book, she came up with it and I'm so grateful because this is exactly it. So
we live in a texting society with emojis. So we know those weren't around like 10 years ago.
Yeah. So this visual I think is great and it helps, which is in every situation, and not just parenting, just in every situation, give yourself a break, but you have A through D options. A is the textbook best case scenario. Should you have the time, resources, wherewithal, patience, do A. Yeah,
gold star for the day. That's out of the parent magazine. Yeah, way to go.
Exactly. Yeah. The 10 out of 10, man, you did it. And that's unfortunately, Jessica, that's the Instagram perfect Facebook thing that people expect from themselves is A's. They expect the A's. Okay. And remember, we aren't taught the A's. You're just supposed to know.
And the A's aren't even really a natural response.
They're not.
I think D's can sometimes be a little bit more.
It is. It is exactly that. I appreciate you saying that because that's true. We don't know how to do the A's. So that's the learning. Okay, once we learn the A's, then sometimes you can do them, even if you know them. Like I said, even myself, I knew them. And I'm like, okay, Michelle, okay, what do you need to do here? What do you need to do here? Come on. What do you need to do? Because you have to pull out the A. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. B is the good enough option. Good enough. It's the 5 out of 10, the 6, 8 out of 10, man, given the context of you haven't slept much. You've got this kid crying over here, or this is going on at work, or whatever. This is all I got right now. It's good enough. And we can exist well in the good enough range.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, if you're even sliding by in the good enough for the most of the time, you are like, really killing this parenting thing.
You are. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. Uh-huh. And then C is do no harm. Mm-hmm. C is shut the hell up, walk away, do whatever you need to do to augment your own resources because you want to stay away from D, which is harm. Mm-hmm. Stay away from yelling at, shaming, humiliating, obviously hitting them, spanking, any of that. Yeah. Stay away from D and you're doing a bang up job. So you've got all these options over here.
Great. And C, I was in the car with my teenage daughter and I had to pinch myself to do C. I was literally in the car driving, pinching my inner thigh to just shut the hell up.
Good girl. Good girl.
No matter, I played the reel in my head and no matter what I said, it wasn't going to turn out. You know, she was having a moment and I just gave her space to have the moment. And I just shut the hell up.
Good girl. That's awesome. You did see. Jessica, you have no idea how many people, once you get this concept, like once you get it, they come in and they're like, hey, Michelle, I didn't do D.
Well, and we've all done D. I mean, I remember when my oldest daughter was younger to telling her to get the F out of my car. That is D. I mean, it still, she can bring it up to this day. And it was probably 8 years ago, which is like 3/4 of her life. And she remembers. What do we do when we do D though? Because we've all been there.
We all have. Yeah. So we all, and we will, you will do D again. And we're trying to minimize the D's as much as possible. But whenever we do D, just like everything else in our lives is you have remorse and remorse is corrective to apologize, to repair it, to fix it in whatever way you can. You need to do that. And which is a very humbling thing for children to see the big person apologize. That's a really important thing for them to see because it gives them permission then to also mess up and they can come back from that and repair it as well.
It is interesting. Even my youngest was frustrated with something that she did, and I will pull up my fault. Remember yesterday when mommy, you know, yelled at you and I had to come back and apologize? And she's like, yeah. I was like, well, I'm not perfect. You know, being a mommy is really hard and I make mistakes. And, you know, she's like, oh, that's right. You know, you see that little wheels in her head turning, like, I gave you some space and grace to be like a just mediocre mom. And so I think I'm okay to that's not get 100% on her spelling in second grade or whatever it was that she was good upset for
you.
About.
Good for you. That's wonderful. Yeah.
You know, I think the repair is also really important to take a minute and talk about, because I don't think parents even know that they're able to repair.
Right.
You know, the guilt and the shame and that, you know, you just are in your room. You're like, oh my God, how did God give me children? You know, yeah. I'm the right. worst person on the earth. And then you're just like, well, yeah, I'm just going to let that go.
Right. Because that is exactly a shame. And it's mm-hmm. what we talked about, which was the A part, because if we're feeling we're failing, if we didn't do the A, you're not failing. These are great. These
right. Are B and great. C are great too.
They're great. Yeah. It's great. So that's the part about you can come back from that. This is, it's not just if it's an A, you failed. No. Okay. If you, we're trying to stay away from the bad stuff, you know, okay. And then just come back and, you know, do it poorly, do a repair poorly, just do it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, how do clients, and I've been one of yours, I was so blessed to go through one of your courses so many years ago. How do they parents react when you allow them to make mistakes and give them permission to be a C student?
Yeah. Their shoulders go down.
Mm-hmm.
They just relax, like, and they feel encouraged. They leave with hope that you're not the worst. Like, you can recover from this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all learning. It's okay. Just what do we need to do now? So that it's relieving. Because I'll tell you, Jessica, it's like what we tend to do mentally is we just go here and here. That's what
right,
we do.
Pass, fail. That's it.
That's it. Black and white. I either did it stellar or I sucked.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And then there's no room for anything in between. None of that gray area. And you're not going to get an A all the time in parenting because it's really hard.
Right, right. Yeah. I like, too, the image of the alphabet, Jessica, like A to Z. If you're doing A, you know, or A isn't working, people then go to Z. And it's like, there's a lot of letters in between.
Yeah, right. And I think our fuses are short too. We're frustrated. We're like, we just thought we did an A job and you're not responding. You know, GD, you know, I'm going to come. Yeah, I'm with you. We just don't know. There's many other options.
That's right. There are. And so it's just, it's up to, we have to sort of figure them out. And you shouldn't know them. I want to say too, humbly, that when I took this course, I was a school counselor in Texas for 600 4-to-7-year-olds. 600 4-to-7-year-olds. And I had a 1-year-old and my husband thought it'd be a great idea for us to take parenting class. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to learn anything. And I was so wrong. So I knew none of that. I knew none of what I teach. I knew none of that. And so I was like, okay, thank God. Thank God I learned something here, because without that, it would have been much worse.
And I think, you know, you talk about in your book, and it's something that I come across with moms, you know, other families, they feel so alone in their struggle, you know, and I don't think that social media has helped. However, you really point out to them, you're not alone. You know, this is not a new experience. Whatever you're struggling with, someone else is struggling with the exact same thing. And parenting classes are great for that, because you're actually in the presence of other parents going through the same thing or similar
right.
situations.
Yeah, that's so normalizing for people to feel. You know, that's one of the responses that I get when we talk about what the class meant for them, is they said it was so useful to be among other people, to learn from them and hear, oh, that's happening over there too. Yes. Yes. I can guarantee it's happening over there. It, despite appearances. Yes, it is. I can tell you behind the scenes, it's happening.
Well, and shame and guilt work really well in isolation. So that cycle can just perpetuate if you feel like you're the only one suffering.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. You sound like you're getting this.
Well, you and I have a yogic background, and I wanted, as I was reading through some of your suggestions, they were so, I mean, mindfulness is universal. It doesn't just have to be yoga, but I didn't know if some of those really beautiful suggestions, taking a walk, breath technique, were influenced at all by your yoga teacher training, your yoga practice, being a yogi.
Yes. I've been practicing now for 15 years. So of course it integrates into my life, of course. And it's a grounding thing. Like, we need to ground. Our culture doesn't promote that. And so if you sign up for whatever the culture's selling, it's an empty pursuit, a very empty pursuit. And so, yes, it does. Coming back to and filling yourself, like you talked about, the self-care, you know, that it's required. And what is so simple with yoga that reminds me of it, that in this physical body that we have an inhale and an exhale. And you cannot exhale, you cannot give without an inhale.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, yeah.
It just doesn't, if you can't, so it's like that, it's required. You have to inhale, but that's not a message that's really fostered. It's just what, how much can you exhale? How much can you exhale out there? How much can, and it's like, it's just, so that's something that's always been, I know it's a need for me. So I just honor that. And then I can exhale.
It was so great. I mean, when you give options A through, let's say, C, you really focus too on what resources do you have as a parent at that time? Where are you? How are you feeling? And most people don't even check in. They don't know why they're screaming at their kids or their spouses, or, you know, because they haven't slept. They haven't, what I call, filled their bucket or done anything for them in God knows how long. And they're wondering why A is not even on the table.
Right.
You know, you're just trying to pick out C at that point because you don't have any resources. You have nothing to give.
That's right. Yeah. Running on E, like running on E, the tank running on E is like fumes. It's not good. It's not pretty. It's mean mommy. It's scary mommy. My kids had that. They're like, oh yeah, that's a mean mommy face. I'm like, yeah, that's it. I know exactly, because that's the kind of parent we are when we haven't done those things, when we haven't deposited and filled that tank. Mm-hmm. It's ugly. It's ugly. So that's, I like to wave a magic wand and just absolve parents of any guilt that you feel by doing the things that fill you, because I guarantee you're a better parent when you do.
100%. I created this platform. I really want to shower and to be with other moms and reframe this idea of what a good mom looks like and taking time back for themselves to make themselves a priority. Mm-hmm. You know, I had another guest on, you know, and she was like, you got to put your oxygen mask on first. Mm-hmm. Not only do you need to breathe, like you said, to inhale and exhale, to physically breathe, but you can't help people if you're struggling and floundering.
Right. Which is not a message that women get much. It's just put the oxygen mask on them, put it on, the, do it for them. It's like, it's not pretty. It's not pretty parenting.
It's tough. I've tried to have, even women in my studio are in resisting yoga, resisting doing anything for themselves. I'm like, have you had a massage lately? Oh, I don't have time for that. I'm like, well, your entire physical being is ate up with knots and you look very uncomfortable. You know, that's not a sustainable reality to just continue to give and give and give, because eventually, you break and you're not mean mommy. That's me too. Mean mommy. Oh, that was a mean mommy story. Right. I scream with them to get out of the house in a thunderstorm when the skies are black. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. They're all there, but it's being honest with ourselves. Like you said, our resources, where are they, to check in with ourselves and our own resources? Because it all starts there. It does. It all starts there.
And you talk about reacting versus responding, and talk a little bit about both, because they're not all accessible if you're running on empty.
No, if you're running on empty, it's all reacting. Mm-hmm. Reactions have no thought. Reactions are the things that instinctually just happen like that, that you often, within 10 seconds, 30 seconds, regret it coming out of your mouth. It doesn't take long for you to regret it. That's the reaction. There's a stimuli that happens. Your kids say something you don't like, they're fighting, whatever. And we react quickly, like those things. So it doesn't have any thought. Responses have thought. Responses, if you take a moment, so between that stimuli and your action, there's a pause. And that pause can last 1 second, or it can last an eternity. It could last till tomorrow. You can pause forever on that, because you can just do C and walk away, man. It is not urgent. The only thing urgent is your safety of your kids. Otherwise, it's not urgent. It's not, you don't need to chase them. I mean, don't chase your kids unless it's for play or it's dangerous. Otherwise, they're coming back, man. They'll be back. So anyway, we don't realize we can, because parents believe it's urgent, Jessica. Like, oh my God, I got it. It's like, it's not urgent. Take a pause, breathe, walk away, do whatever you need to do so you're not doing D, and you can come back resourced in some way, even if you just pause. Because as you well know, as a yogi, if you, the parasympathetic nervous system is activated with nasal breathing. If you just breathe through, in and out through your nose 3 times, you will activate your parasympathetic nervous system. Just that moment, pause, breathe, not your mouth, because the mouth activates fight or flight. It's nose only. Breathe and then see what you got for that kid right there. And it will be a response and not a reaction. And it's not reactive. It's not all reactive parenting where it's sort of, you lose your power when you do that. Mm-hmm. Like you're not empowered anymore. It's just, you're reacting to them. Like they have the power really.
Where you can't access executive function without breathing. When you're in fight or flight and high stress, you couldn't even make the choice to do a good job or to do a response, even if you wanted to. You can't even access that information.
That's right.
Yeah.
True.
So we talked about this, stuck with me, and I don't know how many years ago it was that I was sitting in your office, and you talked about how children have needs and they will get them met by all means necessary.
Yes.
And it always stuck with me. Yeah. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I think, too, we also don't recognize our children have their own little microcosm of world of stress, of anxiety, or even though it's not big time adult stress, like paying the bills and the mortgage and a job and a boss. It's, they have their own little world that is stressful to them.
Absolutely. Yes, I appreciate you saying that. I'm happy to talk about the 5 needs. I'd cover those. I want to touch on what you're saying, which is, you know, like when a little kid is at a birthday party and they want a certain piece of the birthday cake and they don't get it and they're melting down. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can look at that and minimize and go, well, that's not that big of a deal. It's just a cake. Mm-hmm. Not in their world. That's as big as it gets.
Yeah.
As big as it gets is I didn't get the part of cake that I wanted in the melting down. Right. So it is, they are little people. They're littler versions of us. They're not lesser. They're just the same as us. And they're trying to get these needs met. First is belonging. I need to feel like I belong in this family, belong on this team, belong in this class, belong. It's a normal human need to belong. Mm-hmm. Love. I need to give and receive love. Normal human need, which is where I tell parents it's a myth. If you love them, that's enough. It's not enough. They have other needs. They have these other 4 needs. Mm-hmm. And we get sideways with some of these. This one right here, power. Children need power too. It gets a bad rap in terms of control. They don't have much power. We tell them where to go, when to go, with whom, what to wear, what to say. And you wonder why they're not doing it. They're not doing it because they don't want to be told what to do any more than you do because of this need of power. So, and I could talk about power for hours, literally hours. Next need. Special, valued, and important. I need to know that I'm special, valued, and important to you. I'm not just another girl in this family or another boy. I need to know that I matter. It's a normal human need. And then finally, as you referenced teenagers, experiment and explore. Mm-hmm. As a kid, you know, a little kid, I need to be able to experiment, explore. And that looks like, you know, getting in the snow, tasting the snow, getting in the puddle, mixing like you in the kitchen, experimenting. The mind craves novelty. We're curious. It's a beautiful thing to have curiosity. The danger with teenagers, the experimentation, exploration can be life altering. It can be permanent. That's what literally what you just did. It's like it can take our breaths away as parents. And it's not wrong. They're still doing a normal human need, which is to experiment and explore. Parents try to put the lid on it and go, oh, just don't do that. Well, Jessica, don't turn around and look at the plant behind you.
Right. You're going to turn around and,
that's all the brain hears is let's turn around and do that. Or don't have sex. Don't try vaping. Don't do drugs. Don't drink. Okay. All the brain hears is I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
I'm going to try that out.
Because that's I might try them all at once. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So it's a normal. So that doesn't work. I could save the, you know, those marketing campaigns of don't drink and drive. I could save them a lot of money because I'm like, it's a failure. That is a failure. Mm-hmm. Psychology 101. Don't put the don't in front of it, which is like the name of this book. Don't do D. No, you can't say that. Stay away. Like, tell them what you want them to do instead of what you don't. So,
and is it because it piques our interest?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Because, like I said, the mind craves novelty, and we're curious, and that's a beautiful thing all of our lives. And to be curious. So, the minute you put a charge on it like that, I'm interested. Don't touch the oven, it's hot. Oh, I'm totally going there now.
Yeah. Which is just, you know, it's mind blowing, right? Because those are all the things that we say all the time.
Right.
Don't cross the street.
Right. So all we need to do, Jessica, is to say, for all these people that are listening, say what you want instead. This is hot. Stay away from this because it's hot. And I literally took my kid's hand in there and stuck it in the oven. So you know what it's like. Like, and they're like, I'm never going there. Now. I'm not doing that. They're reasonable people. If you explain it, they're reasonable. So when you say, like, back to your original thing, these needs, they're going to get them met appropriately or inappropriately, whatever works, and whatever we train them to do. So if I feel power arguing with you a lot, I'm going to keep doing that. If I feel power overpowering the dog or my younger sibling, that's, I mean, even though it's inappropriate, I need power any way I can get it. Belonging, like belonging can look like this, why kids join gangs. If I don't belong my family, I don't belong, you know, on a team, I don't belong in my class, I don't feel like I fit, I'm going to join a gang because, man, I don't belong. It's normal. It's okay. Like, you get it. You get why. Because we're going to get them met any way we can.
And I think that intersects with, which I'm sure, I mean, this is why you do what you do, the options A through C and D. Because when we're not showing up and filling our buckets and running on, you know, a half to full tank.
Yeah.
That makes getting all of these needs met appropriately for our children really, really hard.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're trying to meet these needs for them. And so you have to have something to give. Yeah. Yourself, for them. So yeah, it's vital. Otherwise it's deep.
Yeah, right. And you recognize, you know, you take everything personal as a parent, right? We're looking at all of these needs and it's really not about us at all. You know, it's not something we did right or wrong. It's their life and their experiences and their needs that they're getting met. And it really doesn't have anything to do with us. However, when we're choosing D and we're really not present, it's hard not to have it impact us and feel really personal.
That's right. Exactly. So the power need, I told you not to go over there, and they're and so you take it personally. And it's not about that. It's about, I'm experimenting. I'm curious. It's like, it has nothing to do with you, which is a helpful lens. That's why I always start with this with anybody I start talking to, is you got to look at your kids through this lens, because otherwise you are going to take it all personal. It's like, it's all about you. It has nothing to do with you. It's them trying to get their needs met.
And even just that little piece is like mic drop, mind blowing for a lot of people that have not had that experience or to hear it, that like kids' lives are about them. It's not really about you. It's not about your successes or failure. Really, it's 100% belongs to them. Their successes and failures belong to them as well. You don't really have anything to do with it. You can just guide them along the way.
That's exactly right. Just, I appreciate you saying that too, because a lot of parents, you know, like would believe that it's attached. Like, this is, they're extensions of me. You know, like they're extensions of me. Like, when people would compliment my children, I would say, yes, she is that, or she is not, thank you. Cause I'm like, this isn't about me. That's about, yep, that's her. And I'm not saying I don't have responsibility. I do have responsibility to groom my children, but I don't take credit for that.
Yeah, you're the bumpers in the lane. You aren't the lane.
Yeah.
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 I make it a point too. And I think this is probably came from you that stuck with me, and how we say things when my children have an accomplishment. I'm like, well, you should be really proud. How do you feel about that? Versus like, I'm so proud of you, because that feels really conditional. I'm proud of you if you do well, but, you know, I'm not proud of you if you don't. It takes it, you know, the ownership is mine.
That's
of
right.
Their achievements.
Yeah, it creates external validation, which is what social media does, unfortunately. But I'm looking out here for my validation instead of, how does, like, what you're doing with your kids, turning them back to themselves, how does it feel inside you to have done that? Which is internal validation. So then I'm proud of myself. I'm really proud of myself. Yeah, that was hard, or I did it right. That feels good inside me. I'm not looking out here for who are you? Is any who's I say it creates praise junkies. Like, who's going to give me my hit, man? Mm-hmm. Who's going to tell me how great I am? Instead of, wait a minute, how do I feel about it myself?
And I think the world that the kids are in, I look at my second grader and we were reading this book. It's called Sex is a Funny Word. And it kind of goes through, it's actually a really good book to talk about bodies and all kinds of stuff. Good. But anyway, one of the questions were, you know, asking things that she likes about herself. And it's really hard for her to come up with things. I'm like, oh man, you know, I can see how challenging the world that our children are in. It is for them, that it wasn't like it when I grew up, you know, 40 years ago, when, you know, whatever. It's a very challenging world. I think they struggle.
Yeah, right. Because there's such a, at every moment, a comparison to anything that's out there. There's so much information coming, so that it's easy to compare. And comparison is the thief of joy.
Oh, that's my jam. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So then there's a sense of I'm less than if I'm not that. And it's keep turning them back into themselves, because everybody has gifts that they were brought here to give. Everybody.
Yeah, that's so true. Let's give them an example. It was interesting. I posted to social media and I took over one of the indie moms groups and I wrote something about the morning time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I took a poll and it was like, all right, how's morning? I'm breezing through, or I'm barely making it. And it was like, you know, 87%, almost 90% of the people are like, I'm barely making it through.
Yeah.
Can you kind of talk through your suggestions on, you know, A through D, what that looks like in a morning routine, and maybe give parents some hope?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mornings and evenings are the most stressful because there's time crunches to try to get. I mean, there's, you know, when you shift from preschool where you can just bring your kid at any time to a school schedule.
Or they're calling you and be like, you know, school starts at 7:50, right? Not 7:55.
Right. It's a big shift for a whole family. It is. It's a big change. So I respect and understand that the morning and evening routines. Evenings are harder because everybody's tired and low resource usually.
Yeah.
So mornings are stressful because everybody's trying to get started. So a couple things. Yeah. The A's, what the A's would be. There's one question that I think is super helpful to begin to get into your head, whether it's for the morning routine or the evening routine. And it's an open-ended question. And open-ended questions, well, let's go closed-ended questions, have yes or no as the only answer. So have you brushed your teeth yet? That's a closed-ended question. I can only answer you yes or no. Are you ready to go? Yes or no? Those are closed-ended. So to shift your thinking and to carry this one question, what do you need to be ready? What do you need to be ready? And when you ask that, even though you can see, I can see on you, Jessica, you don't have the shoes on. You don't have the backpack. You haven't brushed your teeth. Zip it. Mm-mm. Say nothing. And the reason is that third need of power. Because me spoon feeding you, do this and this and this, Jessica, gives you opportunities to go resist. To resist. Mm-hmm. And resistance is a normal human thing. We all resist. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to give you anything to resist against. I just want to ask you to use your God-given brain. Jessica, what do you need to be ready, honey? And what happens when you ask that question is the kids' eyes go up in their head and they're
trying to pull that information. What do I need?
That's right. They think. Yeah. They have to think themselves. And in the previous, if I'm spoon feeding you, do this, Jessica, do this and do this. I don't have to think.
Yeah. And they're not going to remember it all anyway. And then you're going to be frustrated.
Right.
And then D is right there for you.
That's right. Yeah. So it's not working. It's ineffective. So what do you need to be ready? And then they go, well, okay. And then you go, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you go do that? Okay. And then what else do you need to be ready? What else? And so prior to that, if it's a smaller kid, even your second grader, you might have them come up with a list, or kids that are smaller, pictures of these are the four things that need to be done in the morning. You know, a picture, so that I'm not telling you, it's just, you might want to go look at your list if you don't know what else you need to do. You might want to go look and you put it somewhere visible that they can go look, so that they are empowered and accountable and responsible for their own schedule, instead of continuing to harp on them and spoon feed them, and they just resist you anyway.
Yeah, nobody wants to be a nag. Right. I mean, that's what you end up doing. You just nag, and then you're frustrated, and you're like, I'm sick of talking to myself.
Right. Yeah. It's called parent death. I hear everything except what you're telling me. It's a Charlie Brown mom. Wah, 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 yeah. Wah, 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 wah. And so you just stop. I would have to, for myself, Jessica, I often, if I am a broken record, I can assure you they're sick of hearing it. I'm sick of saying it. Mm-hmm. If I'm sick of saying it, they're sick of hearing it. I need to do something different because this is not working.
Yeah. Right. So on the fifth time that you've said something, you realize it's not effective. You need to change up your strategy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So come back to ask a question instead of tell. Mm-hmm. What do you need to be ready? Which is better than the closed-ended, have you brushed your teeth? Even though, like, I remember my son came down and he's like, I'm ready to go. And I could see his shoes were not on. And that is so right there to just tell him. Nope. Charlie, what else do you need to be ready? Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. He figures it out.
Yeah. So it's rough. It's rough.
Less is more. Less is more. We just say less and we're more effective.
Yeah. You do. And you might have bruises on your inner thigh from pinching yourself. Just shut up. Because it's... Because sometimes you don't even think that they could be so mindless. But what? I don't understand how we're here. How are you surviving? How are you even taking in food and drink? I don't know.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. But we sometimes, they're depending on us in those ways to keep mm-hmm. doing the remark, to keep, the, and it's like we have to back it up. We have mm-hmm. to continue. Here we are with these newborns, Jessica, where we're all in 100%, doing everything for them. And then our job is to keep backing out, backing out, backing out. And it's so hard to keep backing out because you had to be all in.
Yeah, that if you don't back it out and hear that reverse beep, though, you're going to be exhausted. You'll be exhausted by 3 years old. It's too much.
Yeah.
Right. I love it. You said, and you put this on your bathroom mirror in your own home. And you said, it's a quote. And you said, I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Parenting. Has it been worth it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's so freaking hard. It's so humbling. I'm in the stage now of trying to even, I'm still parenting, like how to adapt to young adults and back myself out of that because they don't want to, they're trying to find their way and they're trying, you know, and so like a teenager to be available, I'm here, but not to keep inserting myself. And so at each stage, I have to keep adapting myself as a parent, like, okay, how do I do this? How do I be parent of a young adult? You know, and then mm-hmm. how eventually, you know, they'll be partnered. And how do I do that? How you just keep backing up because they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it is worth it. And I know I hear from those ahead that grandparents is the thing.
Cause you're not faced with any of those challenges. You'd get to just be the, you know, sweet and loving and amenable.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything I teach is about being firm and kind at the same time, firm and kind, not firm or kind. And so with grandparenting, I just get to be kind. I don't have to be firm. And so I look forward to that. But us parents, we are tapped with this job where we are required to be both firm and kind. So it's, they don't need friends with the kind. They need us to be firm and kind. They're going to have lots of friends. We're their parents. And mm-hmm. so that's, I look forward to that ease because it's not my responsibility then. Mm-hmm. And so, but it is, it's a gift. It's a gift to parent. It's a humbling, humbling job that, yes, has beautiful rewards. And there are stages that are just a lot of effort. And teenagers, you know, they just want you to be the wallet and the ride.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Michelle, that you give parents so much hope.
Good.
And really options to stay out of D, which is a really shameful place to be in. It doesn't feel good. You know, you don't want to be there more often than not because it doesn't feel good.
No.
You walk around, you know, feeling really bad or, you know, remorseful and shameful. And that's a tough place to be as a parent. And I think giving permission for parents to be a C student and really celebrate those opportunities when you're an A.
Yes. Yes.
You got a gold star, kicked it out. God, I really rocked that parenting thing today. Yeah. It does not happen all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay to celebrate that I didn't do D.
Yeah.
That's a celebration. Like truly, there's levity to that. I didn't do D. Okay. Good for you. You exercise restraint. Because it's easy to parent poorly. That is easy all day long. You can do it all day long. It's hard to parent well.
Amen to that, for sure. Well, if anybody is out there listening, you have to get this book from Michelle Gam, Stay Away from Option D. Mm-hmm. It is a game changer. I really think more parents just knowing that they have options, and it really gives them some real world scenarios and some options and changing the way you think of parenting. You do have choices and there is hope.
There is
and hope. We're in this together.
Exactly. Exactly. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's always great to chat with you.
It is.
I really appreciate it.